Yep. All right. I got to be the bearer of bad news. We got to stop chit-chatting and come back. Yeah, no, that's good news. That's good news. So, yeah, there you go. Thank you. Nice. A few side announcements. We're going to get a triple dose of David this morning. The other speakers are still flying in. Their flight was canceled yesterday, and so they had to catch a flight this morning. So they'll be here about the time their session's going to start. So if we can be praying for them as far as smooth travel and energy levels and all that good stuff. It seems like they've been good sports about it, maybe. Yeah. Okay. That's good. So a little bit of a schedule change as far as who's presenting this morning. And then also, I wanted to mention after this next, at the close of this next session, lunch will come in. We'll get it set up some tables, and we'll be able to eat together. So I don't know if you knew or not, but, you know, plan to eat here, and we can get to know each other a little better. And then lastly, if you would like to give what we'll call a love offering, which would be an offering to the speakers, you can do that. If you write a check, you can write it to Lake Hazel Bible Church. Just put conference on the 4 line or the memo line. Or if you have cash or however you want to do it, we have giving envelopes. And you can stick it in the box over here. And then tomorrow we'll take another love offering. Or not another, but the actual love offering. So if you want to take care of that today, just put it in the box. No pressure, of course. It's just, you know, if you want to show some appreciation that way, it's an opportunity for you. And with that, I'll turn it back over to David.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. Let's see here if I can get us up and going. Find my notes. Oh. Let me just have music play while I shift around here a little bit. Isn't that a great song to hear? that's a Dallas Seminary song. For those of you that went to Dallas Seminary. So anyway, the parables of Jesus. So the question at hand is, which doesn't sound particularly nice, but what kind of dirt are you? And of course, and the question, the assumption is that you are some kind of dirt, and I'm some kind of dirt, but what kind of dirt are we? And I say it this way, Jesus brought it up and talked about it this way. I didn't make this up. This isn't a question to be rude to you or whatever, but we're going to talk about soil theology today, if you'd like, which happens to be about the heart. So, parables. Anybody remember? Parables are life stories to teach spiritual truths. Yes, parables are life stories to teach spiritual truths. Not very complicated. We're going to be looking at the parable of the sower and the soils. And so I invite you to turn to Matthew 13. We're going to take a look at 1 to 4a at this point. And I want to make a couple observations in terms of him talking to the crowd. So, and we've already read this one time, so it's by reminder, verse 1. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds. So that's what I want you to see. There's a bunch of crowds here. Large crowds gathered to him, so he got in a boat and sat down, and the whole crowds and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in the parable, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds, and some seeds fell beside the road, and it'll continue on. So we're, once again, as I just went over here, we are at this pivot point where he has been, the leaders of Israel have rejected him, and so he has switched to focusing on training the disciples, and he did so by starting to teach in parables at Matthew 13. And what I've proposed for your consideration is, because of this pivot point right here where they rejected him, that he is now going to focus on the mysteries of the kingdom. And so that these eight parables are talking about the time frame between the first and second coming. He's giving new information. And so these eight parables are specifically about the time frame from when Jesus came the first time to when he's going to come. It's information about this time in the world. And notice that it specifically says that there's crowds here with respect to these first four, and then he shifts to the disciples when he does 5 through 8. In terms of his audience, it changes. So as we take a look at 1 through 9, let's carry on from verse 4 again. Here is this parable that he is telling. Actually, verse 3. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So there's the parable. It's not very long. He's talking about these different soils. They're taking grain, and this would be a small grain situation. And the grain is being spread out, and it's being sown different places. So here you have sown on a path. Now, what would happen with fields is that they would have paths through them, because they would fertilize and tend and stuff like that. And initially I was like, because I grew up on a farm, I was like, why would you put seed on a path? That's just like a dumb idea. You wouldn't do that. It's a waste of... But it actually says beside the path, if you look at the wording, besides the path. Okay, beside the path. So they're walking down this path when they're planting, and they're throwing seed out, okay? And that's the concept. And the seed lands different places. Some of it's going to be beside the path. They're going to try to avoid that. Some of it is going to be rocky. Now, I've pictured it this way. There's different ways you can picture rocky, but the concept, because... The seed is able to respond, so it seems like it's rocky, but there is some shallow layer of dirt on the top, which when it gets dry, of course, it doesn't do very well, and especially if it's shallow. And then the third soil has thistles in it. There was lots of those thistles when I was growing up. I had lots of those. Thistles is where the inventor of Velcro came up with the idea of how to make things work. He stole it straight from God in terms of how things work with thistles. And then you have good soil because it doesn't have rocks and doesn't have weeds, and so it's able to grow. And we deal with this on a common basis. Here's the seed I happen to use in my lawn in Utah when I have places that have to be replanted, and I just do that. Take a handful of it and spread it around. So the picture is real straightforward. It's not complicated. You're planting seed various places. But the question gets to be, what does it mean? Because clearly it seems like Jesus is not giving agricultural advice here. He's not telling you how to plant seeds and what to do and not to do, that sort of thing. There seems to be more going on. So let's take a look at, let me give you a little summary sheet I happen to have on this. So... Thank you. It's way more efficient. Except I have to wrap back around. It's like throwing seed, and some of it lands on hard soil, and some of it ends up other places. Whoa! Good catch there. So I'll come back and get to whoever I have missed. Okay, I'm down to two, so somebody who else needs one here. If you have some extras, you can give them to me. So I'm down to one. Over here. Yeah, give me, I still have a couple more here. Okay, just kind of, yeah, okay. Very good. Okay, anybody else? Have any extras in place? Because it still looks like we could. So is there two more here? Who else needs one? Here, let me, couples can share, but, so. Yeah. Oh, there's next one. Anybody else? Okay, now I'm down to one again here. Everybody have one? Okay. I learned great things teaching high school students. Do you know that sleeping students don't learn a thing? Are you aware of that? It's a principle. It's just a principle. It's important. So I did various things to make sure that we were engaged. That was the idea. So, okay. Find out where I am in my notes here. So here we have the summary, and I'm putting labels on it in terms of just on the kind of at the bottom here. I'm going to call these Beside the Road is Hard Heart, Rocky Soil is Shallow Heart, Among the Thorns Crowded Heart, In the Soil Responsive Heart. Those labels are mine, so that's what it says biblically, and then those are the labels I'm putting on it. What's interesting about the soils is that it does show up in three of the Gospels. It doesn't. Do you know that there's no parables in the Gospel of John? Gospel of John doesn't have any parables. It's kind of interesting. Can't tell you why, but just true statement. So, and what happens with this particular one, this lead parable, this first parable that Jesus does, he does this wonderful thing, which is he gives an explanation. His disciples, I so love the disciples, because they're like, Lord, could you explain it to us? We didn't quite get that. And I'm like, yes, good job, guys. Ask him what he means by that, because I didn't get it either. So that's what he does. So I want you to go in Matthew 13. We want to move to the explanation that Jesus gives, 13:18-23. And he's going to explain this to them. And so in 18 he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom," and that's distinctive in Matthew, he calls it the word of the kingdom. It's just called the word in Mark, and it's called the word of God in Luke. "And does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away." Remember, that's the birds that have taken it away. "What has been sown in his heart, this is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one whom the seed was sown on rocky places," second soil, "this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet he has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed," that was the third one, that was the second one, third one is 22, "and the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word," this is the fourth soil, "understands it, who indeed bear fruit, brings forth some of 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So there we have the explanation. He's pointing out that this illustration of seed and soil has to do with the word of the kingdom in Matthew, or the word of God in Luke, and how people respond. He's explaining to the crowds, and he's explaining this to his disciples. So what's really beneficial for us is that we get to see the explanations in all three of the Gospels, because Jesus not only gives the parable four times, but he explains it four times, which is pretty interesting. Okay, heads up, you ready? sometimes there's a distribution problem here. I understand. I can't quite get the distance over here, so I'll bring that over to you here. So, I know. It's a little hit and miss. The precision of tossing is a bit of a deal there. So, and I don't do point blank on tossing. So, anyway, I still have some in hand. So there's still somebody who needs some here. Anyone? Okay. Oh, okay, so don't panic. We're not going to read all of this. I did want to put it in front of you, though, because I'm going to highlight a little bit of it. So you see the sections, and once again, this is Jesus explaining the four soils. We have the introduction, then the soil beside the road, on the rocky, among the thorns, and the good soil. And he uses different wording at different places, and it's really quite helpful to see what he says, and so we're going to talk about that. I referenced this already. The birds came and ate it up. It's described as the evil one comes and snatches away, but what has been sown in his heart. So you have these four soils, and we've just read them briefly. We're going to come back and read them more carefully, or read the explanations more carefully. But one of the questions that happens with these four soils is that he is looking at. The question that arises is, which ones have eternal life and which ones don't? Which ones are saved and which ones aren't saved? Okay? That gets to be kind of an interesting question of which of these four ones are which. And the discussion centers particularly around 2 and 3, because there's agreement that the first soil is, the rocky by the road, that soil, the word is taken away so they don't respond because they don't understand. And then the last one is fruitful, but it's the two middle ones where the discussion comes in. And there's different approaches to this, and I'm going to itemize that for you. When it's also interesting when we talk about this that Matthew and Mark seem to be focused, they don't seem to be answering the question which ones are saved and which ones aren't. Matthew and Mark are just talking about how do people respond. If the word goes forth, how do people respond? But fortunately we have Luke because he answers the salvation question. So Luke does answer the salvation question, so we can know an answer of which soils are saved and which ones aren't, because Luke does address it. But it's interesting, in Matthew and Mark, he just has this focus and of response. And so as Jesus is talking to the crowds, he's really kind of asking them to reflect, as I asked you the question, which kind of dirt are you, to reflect, well, where am I at? Where is my heart at? If it's a multiple choice question, where is my heart at? Okay? But with the disciples, he is training them for his departure, because remember, at this point in Matthew, he's shifted to training the disciples. The training has begun. He is training them as they go out with the word. What is it they can expect? What kind of response can they expect people to have to them? Well, Jesus is saying, here's four different responses that people will have. And they need to know that, partly to have perspective and not get totally discouraged, but to have reasonable expectations. They start proclaiming the kingdom of God in Matthew, or teaching the word of God in Luke. This is what they can expect in terms of response. And so realize that this is going on at these two different levels in terms of what he's trying to have them understand. So back to the question, which soils have eternal life and which do not? Well, there are two main positions on this. There are some variations. I've heard of some other ones, but two main ones. With respect to the path, so I have one position on the left-hand side and one position on the right-hand side. And here are the four soils, and there is an order. There's progression to what's going on here. And we can see that progression, and everybody agrees that it's, you know, path, rocky, thorny, good. There's a progression. And the position on the left says that the seed sown on the road, beside the road, those are not saved people. And this position, but the people that bear fruit, they are. And on the right-hand side, same thing. The people who where the seed was sown along beside the road. They didn't respond. They're not believers. And the ones that are bearing fruit down here are saved. So there's agreement there. But here's where the disagreement is in the middle. The position on the left says, no, they're not saved, and the thorny's not saved because they didn't bear fruit. Okay, the other position is on the right-hand side that says the rocky soil, yes, they didn't bear fruit, but they are saved. And thorny is they didn't bear mature fruit, but they're saved. So understand the two positions. This is a debated thing, so be aware of that. And so on the left-hand side, I'm going to call that the fruit perspective. That's what's that's typically going to be Reformed theology, Calvinistic theology, Lordship, salvation. They want to see fruit. And so with TULIP, the fifth point, a true believer must persevere in faith and good works until they die. So they have to have that fruit, or they prove that they don't have eternal life. They prove it by not continuing on, okay? And that's going to be on the left-hand side. So what they're going to look at is they're looking for fruit. That's the fruit perspective. So on the back side of this little sheet that I gave you, take a look at that, you'll find this little chart that I've put together to kind of summarize it. And the left-hand perspective that focuses on fruit, they're going to focus on the column that says fruit. The first person doesn't have any fruit. Second person doesn't have any fruit. We haven't read the details of this, I understand. The third one is immature, so that fruit is not any good, so that's a no. The only one that has fruit is the last one, so that's the only one that has eternal life, because they have enough fruit to prove that they have eternal life. That's going to be the fruit perspective, okay? Very common perspective, very common perspective. And so they're looking at fruit. Now, it does raise some questions in terms of fruit. Well, what kind of fruit? And then how much fruit? And for how long? Well, if you hold to perseverance of the saints, the how long has to be the rest of your life. Rest of your life, okay? But what kind of fruit? What counts? How do we do the counting? What are the Bible verses that tell us what fruit you have to have? For check, check, check. And then what if you have the fruit for a little while, but then you don't have the fruit later? Now what? Or if you have a little bit of this fruit for a while, and then you have a little bit of that fruit for a while. So, I don't know, is that a passing grade? Are we grading on the curve here? Is it a 70% deal? What are we talking? The point being is this perspective, just side note, what you can't end up with is assurance of salvation. You do not know, because you do not know if you have enough fruit, the right kind of fruit, and for long enough. Till the end of your life, you do not know. And then that list, that rubric for teachers, it's like, what makes the mark? How do you grade it? That's the questions that end up coming. How do you grade this? So that position has that particular challenge to it. The perspective on the right hand side is a life perspective. Do they have life? If they believe in Jesus for eternal life, they have life, okay? Do they have life? That's going to be a life question. So what they're looking at is they're looking for germination. That's when a plant germinates and starts growing. And if there's growth, germination and growth. So on our chart again, the right-hand perspective, the life perspective, is going to look at these two columns right here. And so what you see, and I realize once again we haven't read the specifics of the verse, we're going to do that in just a bit. There's this one, the first one beside the path does not have germination or growth, okay? But the two in question, yes, there is germination. Yes, there's germination. Yes, there's growth. Yes, there's growth. The issue gets to be over here in fruit. That's where it gets to be questionable. But from a growth perspective, is there life? Does this person have life? And it's indicated that they have life because of germination and growth. If you don't have something that doesn't have life, doesn't have germination and growth. And if you do have germination and growth, you have life. So from a life perspective, do they have life? And I think that the passage is telling us that that's the case. That's why the little chart. So Now, in terms of this progression, in Luke, and you can look at your you can look at the sheet that I just handed out. Just go over to the Luke column, and I want you to notice what it says about the soil that fell beside the path. And he's talking about these people, and it says, those beside the road are those who have heard. Now, notice that they've heard. Now, it's kind of interesting. I've done this in terms of, you can do this for a Bible study. I've done comparisons on, you know, circling words and highlighting words and so forth on this chart. If you circle the word heard, every single box has the word heard. Every one of them. Every box has heard. Except for the intro statement. Every one of them has heard. So that's the thing that's equal. They all heard, but what happened after the heard is what makes the difference. Those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. Now, what is interesting, if you look over at the Matthew one, it gives us an additional insight. It says that when everyone, this is verse 19 over on the chart here on the left-hand side, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, so this did not make sense to them. Their heart was such that this did not make sense to them. Since it did not make sense to them, the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. Because it didn't make sense to them. So the devil just takes it. But we see a heart issue there. It didn't make sense to them. It didn't make sense to them. So that they will not believe and be saved. So with the word gone, which they didn't understand, they will not believe and be saved. Okay? So, it's consistent. You have to believe to be saved. But this person is not, so they will not believe and be saved. So here we have the word believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Believes. There's our word. Will not believe. So the first soil, believe. Is they do not believe. Okay? But I want you to see, let me see, that's not the slide I expected. Yeah, I should have had a different slide there, but that's okay, that'll work. On the sheet that I've given you, on Luke, over on the right-hand side again, we just were looking at verse 12. Look at verse 13. See, verse 12 tells that this soil did not believe and be saved. 13, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear and receive the word with joy, that's the first observation, they have no firm root. They believe. There's our word again. Now, the discussion comes in because it says they believe for a while. So there's the natural question. Okay. Well, they believe for a while. What does that mean? In times of temptation, they fell away. But what Luke does is that he draws the line. This one is not believe. This one is believe. And you have a progression. So from Luke's perspective, these three, from this is the line right here. So these three are the ones that have life, which germination and growth confirm. But keying off of the word believe, because Mark and Matthew don't have that, we see where the line is drawn right there. Plus the word receive also supports that conclusion as well. And Jesus gives eternal life to anyone who believes in him for it, and believe being the key word. So, the life perspective, we can be certain of our eternal life based on God's promise, not our performance. Based on what God has promised with eternal life, because we believe in him, not because of our fruit. Okay? We can be certain. Unless, if you go to fruit, you've got this real challenge. How much, what kind, for how long, that sort of thing. Okay? So those are the two views, okay? I don't come in on the fruit side, that the fruit proves that you have eternal life. It's an interesting thing. I live in Salt Lake City, Utah. My neighborhood is 75% Mormon. If you want to talk about people that are busy proving that they're good with God by doing good works, most of these Mormons can outperform the people at Christian churches, and they do. They're working so hard. Feel sorry for the people, but they're working hard. Boy, have they got works to show for it, you know, that sort of thing. I think it's a life issue. I think it's always a life issue. Jesus came to give life, okay? And if we believe in him, we have life. So I think it's a life issue. And I think the parable, by highlighting both germination and growth, tells us which ones have life. Okay? Now, there's still more to this parable. Okay, at this point, in order to have you not fall asleep, you need to stand up here. We need to stretch. Need to wave our arms a little bit here, or I will lose you after a little while. Okay? I don't have anything else to throw at you, so go like this, and then kind of go like this, smack your neighbor, pew, pew, make sure they're awake, that sort of thing. Do a little tiptoe thing, reach for the sky. The reach for the sky is usually a good one. Okay. Ready for part two? Just got up. I know. That wants me to sit down. Okay, so let's step through a little bit of the specifics of the text here. So I've given you kind of an overall general thing. What kind of dirt are you? Because that's, so we have those two questions. What kind of dirt am I? And then also the question of my expectations as I talk to people. I can expect this varied response. I can expect this varied response. It has been my experience as well. So the path soil, the challenges with the path soil, is it says in Matthew, which I read earlier here, the person does not understand. And then in all three passages, it says Satan takes away the word. Takes away the word. So Matthew helps us to see that the person did have an opportunity to respond. But in terms of where they were at spiritually, it just didn't make any sense to them. It just didn't. When we talk about Jesus, and talk about the message of life and eternal life, we talk to some people, it does not make any sense to them. We'll run into people like that. It doesn't make any sense. Or I was just talking to a guy this week, he said, I can't buy that. And that's where he's at. That's what he said to me. He said, I understand. I've interacted with him enough. He could tell you the plan of salvation in terms of the free gift of eternal life. He could tell you that. He said, but I don't buy it. I don't think it's right. Okay? And that's where he's at. So, we're still in conversation, so that's the good thing. But it's interesting. So this is referred to in my wording as hard heart beside the path. So we have a path, but in Jesus' explanation, he's transferring it to people. So you have somebody with a hard heart, and they're not believers in Jesus beside the path. These are very common. They're not interested in the things of God. And we must pray for them, because the Holy Spirit has to work. And we still talk to them. We still talk to them about Jesus, okay? It's really important that other people have Bible-believing Christians that they know. Because we run into this in Mormonism. I remember Sandra Tanner talking about this. She says, 9 out of 10 do not have a Bible-believing Christian as a friend. So at such a point where they begin to question things, they don't have anybody to ask. You see that? But we have to be friends, in my case, with Mormons, but other people. But I have to be a safe friend. I have to be a safe friend if I'm a blasting friend. And early on when I was dealing with Mormonism, I was shotgun man. You believe in Mormonism? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard! And they really wanted to be like me, right? I mean, they were like, sure, let's believe in that Jesus. That's fantastic. No. We need to be friends, so if they have some questions, they feel safe to come to you and say, tell me about what you believe. What do you guys got going on? Okay? So even if these people are hard-hearted, like the guy I just told you about, I was just having this conversation 2 days ago with him. Okay? I am working hard to stay his friend, and we disagree, but I'm trying to hang in there. And other people, so make friends with unbelievers. Maybe you talk about spiritual things, maybe you don't. But make friends so that they have access to you at such a point they have a question. Okay? And the hard heart, that's what it is at the moment. It might be different. Second soil, shallow heart. Rocky soil. And let's look at that one. I'm on my sheet here. Let's look at Matthew on the rocky soil. Let's read Jesus' explanation. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Now notice, receives shows up again, yet he has no firm root, and he has root, but it's not firm, in himself, but only is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Okay? So the challenges with the rocky soil are affliction. That's what's mentioned in Matthew and Mark. If you go over to, it also mentions persecution in Matthew and Mark. And then if you go over to Luke, it talks about temptation and a time of temptation, and they fall away. I don't think that these challenges are exhaustive. I think these are characteristic. They're facing temptation and opposition. My son Timothy has been interacting with a woman in online, interacting with a woman in Wales. And so, and she doesn't live that far from London. And she she is a single parent, divorced, and he talked with her about Jesus, and she came to believe in Jesus. And it's really a dark place over there in Europe. But so she believed in Jesus, and her family, she told her family about it. Her family just immediately opposed her. They just ridiculed her. They told her she was stupid and everything. It was surprising. Every single person in her family, with her parents and with her ex-husband and so forth. I mean, she just got all that stuff. Just right away. Okay? Now, she's doing okay. She's doing fine. But here's this young believer. And she says, I believe in Jesus. And it's like everybody attacks. Okay, this can happen. And she's doing all right, but I was really surprised at how much and how strong it was. But that happens. That happens sometimes. So, with this rocky soil, what we see in the passage here, the shallow heart, their challenges, there's going to be difficulties and a couple observations. Difficulties and disappointments. And she was facing that. Another thing that shows up has to do with people's expectations. It's just not working. And then I'll talk about expectations in terms of what they're expecting. But just not working. Have you heard any of the stories called, it's a transition, detransition, or not detransition, that confuses it with the other one. Deconversion, that's the word I meant to say, sorry. I should put just not working is deconversion. If you listen to stories that say, I mean, you'll have, it's really fascinating, there's like worship leaders at mega churches, okay, they've been leading people in worship for a long time. This is kind of the mustard seed visible church things, perhaps. And they get to a place and they say, you know what? I tried that Christianity thing. It's just not working for me. It's just not working for me. Okay? And that phrase shows up a whole bunch. But think about that. That's a transactional statement. Thinking that believing in Jesus is transactional. I believe in Jesus. That's my transaction to him. And then he does things for me. That's transactional back. But if Jesus doesn't do the stuff back that I'm hoping and expecting him to do, then it's not working. Then Christianity is not true. So I don't believe in Jesus anymore. Deconversion. Okay? But it's transactional. We have to make sure you don't use wording as you talk to people about transactional. You know, you believe in Jesus and he's going to make everything better. No, actually, it's probably going to get worse, especially if your family opposes you. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But you're going to have eternal life and Jesus is going to be with you. That's great. Talk about that. But not that everything's going to get better. And so this person faces this, just like this gal with Stella, in Wales, she faced this right away. Now she's doing fine, but sometimes there's expectations, and sometimes we're not clear, and we sometimes, communicate expectations. Now we have a certain set of first world problems. It's important to realize these are first world problems, okay? But sometimes people will say, well, I believe in Jesus and I still have these issues. We're big into convenience that everything works well. We get all bent out of shape if it doesn't work the way we want. We're into comfort. comfort is a big one in an affluent society like ours as to why we won't go someplace else to do ministry, because it is uncomfortable. Okay, and it really is. It's not made up. It can be really uncomfortable to go someplace else and serve people in a very different context. That can be very hard, okay? But we think we just highly value that. Conformity, I want people to conform to my expectations, as in terms of what they're doing. Competence, I want people to do a good job. And I put my time, that's my personal one, in terms of, I hate when people waste my time. I'm just being honest with you. That's a super irritating thing. I love interacting with people, but if people don't do things the way they're supposed to competently, and so I end up just wasting a lot of time because they didn't do what they're supposed to do, I'm just really irritated really fast. This is an area I need to grow in, I understand. But we have these first world things, and sometimes these first world things right there, convenience, comfort, conformity, competence, any other word that starts with a C, of course, those things prevent us from following Jesus, okay? And that's what ends up happening, and we just have to be mindful of that. The crowded heart is thorns. Let's take a look at among the thorns, reading on Matthew, the third one down. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Okay? So here we have growth. And I want you to go over to Luke 8, over on the right-hand side here, once again with the third soil. Verse 14, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries. Number one, riches. Number two, pleasures of this life. Number three, and bring no fruit to maturity. What's interesting is they do have fruit. It's just not mature. But how useful is immature fruit? It's not. You don't buy it at the grocery store. You're not buying immature fruit at the grocery store. So with thorns, worries, riches, and pleasures. Boy, worries about the world and whatever. You start looking at the news. You know, I don't know if you've started to back off on your news watching. You know, if you watch the news every day, all the time, do you realize, I mean, just like, for example, on Fox News, so they have this headline story. I mean, I don't know how, they must change that headline story, you know, once an hour. So, you know, if you're really going to be up on whatever's happening, you got to be checking the news every hour, find out what world event has taken place. I've gotten to the point that, like, this is not even healthy. My goodness gracious. Maybe I'll check at the end of the day and see if the world has ended. And I didn't know about it, but otherwise it's like crazy. Riches and pleasure, always attractive. We get distracted by the things of the world, which, by the way, can be very good things. But then we don't have any time. No time. We don't have time for the things of God because I'm busy doing a good thing. We just don't work it in there. And spiritual things end up just being a low priority. That's what's happening with the third soil. It's like, no, it's not a high priority here. Okay? Thorny soil challenges. The challenges. It talks about worries and riches, desires and pleasures. Now, it isn't that we can't enjoy life. There's my wife and I. We're sitting in a hot tub in Jackson, Wyoming, and we really enjoyed that. That's very nice. I'll do that again whenever I get a chance. It's not that we can't enjoy things. J.I. Packer has a book entitled Hot Tub Religion. Hot Tub Religion. And he talks about the fact that, particularly for affluent believers, we want the comfortable. We want the comfortable. The warm, the nice, the relaxing. None of this demanding, difficult, challenging, out of my comfort zone stuff. No, not that stuff. No, just hot tub religion. That's what we want. And I don't know, if you're like me, you can say, yeah, I can understand that. I like a good hot tub. Final one, good heart. Good heart, good soil. And I have two of those for some reason. Okay. What we see is that the person understands in Matthew, they accept it, and they hold it fast. And so with good soil, What we find is they're receptive to God's word. They believe what God says. Most importantly, they act as if it's true. If somebody says to me, what does it mean to walk by faith? I'll say, act as if God's word is true. What does it mean to walk by faith? Act as if God's word is true. That's walking by faith. Act as if God's word is true. That's what walking by faith is. That's what this person does. And bear fruit. So now the question is, so what's fruit? If they're bearing fruit, what are they bearing? Yeah, talk to me here. Give me some guesses. Fruit. Converts. Good works, yeah. Witnessing, good character. Somebody else back here said something. Fruit of the Spirit, yeah, fruit of the Spirit, because there we have the word fruit and discipling. Yeah. And see, I think it can be a lot of things. And when we look at fruit, when I think of fruit, I think of a banana for whatever reason. Bananas aren't even my favorite or anything. I just think of bananas. This word fruit, karpos, in the New Testament shows up 66 times. Some of the time it's literal and then it's metaphorical. There are at least these many different uses. Fruit of the womb, you know, fruit of the womb. That's a baby. Character, right conduct, words, love, praise, giving money, converts to Jesus, telling others truth. I think there's more that are fruit. Okay? There's a lot of different things. I don't know that it's limited. Now, as I told you before, I grew up in northern Minnesota. Besides taking care of pigs, I spent a lot of time on an international harvester. Okay? That is not ours. Ours did not look that pretty, I assure you. I have a little model sitting at home to remind me that. Who grew up on a farm? This is becoming a rarer thing all the time. We have one here, two here. Okay, yeah. See, there's not many people who have grown up on farms. Very good experience to grow up on a farm. I've spent way too much of my life on that. There's like, I am so happy that chapter is done. It kind of bored me to death. I just spent hours and days and weeks sitting on this tractor. And it was boring, really, is what it was. Yeah, there's new technology now, I'll tell you. But anyway, didn't have that then. So when the seed is sown, here's what wheat looks like when it's about ready to harvest. That's what ripe wheat, that wheat is ready to combine. And so what you do is you plant wheat here, and it's interesting. I was checking this out a little bit to see what was the case. If you take any guesses on this, there's a lot of variables on this, and I do know the variables. But if you take a bushel of wheat and you plant it, if you have a good crop, how many bushels of wheat will you get? Any guesses? I grew up on a farm, and I still have to look this up. So don't feel bad if you don't know. 80 bushels, that would be really high. But yeah, I don't know. I was like, I'm not sure how many it is. So what I found from the University of Nebraska, and I understand there's variables here, but typically it's going to be a good crop. One bushel of wheat is going to give you 30 bushels of wheat. Okay, it could be as high as 60. I don't think anybody's hit 100, but isn't it interesting what the numbers are on the good soil? 30, 60, 100. By the time you get to 100, God's got to be doing something super special on the deal. But, 30 bushel of wheat is reasonable for wheat. Now, if you plant wheat, what does it produce? Wheat. So at least in one case, if they hear the word of God, and they grow, and it multiplies, whatever that fruit looks like has got to look like word of God somehow. Because it was word that was planted, and it's word coming out. Got to be a connection on word of God being spread. They're in turn taking the seed, spreading it, and having four different responses of people. That's what's going on. That's what that person is doing, spreading the word of God. I think it includes these other things, because the word fruit is used so many different ways. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So, with this good heart, where these things are true, the focus is on the word of God. So, we want to be soil, good soil. Topsoil plus. This is so weird since I grew up on a farm. I'm in suburbia now. So, I go to a store and buy a bag of dirt. Having been on a farm, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. buy a bag of dirt, for goodness sakes. No, you just go out to the farm, you just shovel it up. And, you know, but if you're in suburbia, you can't go over to the neighbor's yard and shovel a bag of dirt and bring it over to your house. That doesn't work. So, but we want to be good soil. We want to be good soil. So here's the questions. On the back side of that little sheet right here, you'll see, let me check my timing here, because clearly I'm getting closer, a little late or something. Oh, I am over. Okay, almost done. Do I have a couple extra minutes? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But I'm getting close to the end. You can, here you have, I listed the challenges that the rocky soil and thorny soil have. And then up here, here's the questions in terms of what kind of dirt am I. Which soil am I most similar with at this moment? See, this is an interesting question. If I said, which soil am I? You answer that yourself. It's between you and God, not between you and me. Which soil am I? Or if you say, over the last 5 years, which soil have I been? Or you might even back up and say, well, 10 years ago, which soil was I? And the answers might be different. The answers might be different. I don't think we switch soils, you know, on a daily basis or anything, but over time, I think we're different kinds of soils at different time frames, blocks of time is how I would think about it. Which soil do I want to be? Do I even care? Now, I'm not trying to be smart-aleck on the second question. It's just critically important. Do you even care which soil? We like to stay where we're at. Remember, comfort, convenience, not change, not challenge. We don't like to move. I don't either. We don't like change. It's a human thing. It's a human thing. Do I even care? It was kind of funny. This was actually in Idaho. I was talking to some more missionaries. About six of them came to my house. They knew who I was and what I did. So they came and talked to me, and they were telling me that the Bible was full of errors. And I was like, wow, that's fascinating. I'm not familiar with those. I mean, I study the Bible and teach it, but I'm not familiar with all that. Can you give me some examples? They said, no. We'll go get some, come back, though. No. This is the only time it ever happened. They actually did come back, and they did come back with a list. They brought a list of about 10 verses, and they said, okay, here, here, here. And I looked at the list, and it's passages I'm familiar with that are a little bit difficult, but I'm like, just look at the context. I said, I can explain all of these verses, because none of these are a problem. I'm familiar with these, they're not a problem. I said, but before I do that, I need to ask you something. Do you even care? The guy said, no, we don't. I said, okay, well, let's not waste your time or mine on this. They didn't care, okay? Just smokescreen, that sort of thing. It really is helpful sometimes to just ask somebody, well, I mean, do you actually care? Okay? And, you know, if a person's honest and say, I don't, respect that. I mean, they're being honest with you. Say, no, I don't care. That's where they're at. Well, we need to do the same thing with us. If I say, well, you know, this is church, man. Everybody wants to be the good soil. Okay, really? Do you care? Do you care much? Do you care enough to work on that? Now, I'm assuming a whole bunch of you, if not the majority of you, are already good soil. That's wonderful. I'm not judging you in terms of that, but it's a heart issue in terms of, do I really care? And what do I need to do to be good soil? Now, on these challenges right here, once again, I think they're illustrative. I think they're examples. I don't think they're comprehensive. What I've done at the bottom here is you may look at some of these and say, I took those six things and I just put them right down here. You see what I did? I just listed them. Then I gave you passages where God's truth comes to bear on those issues. So you can use this diagnostically in the sense of saying, well, I kind of challenge with this. I worry is a thing for me. I have a hard time with worrying. Well, go down to worry, and there's a couple passages that will help you redo your thinking in terms of dealing with worry. Okay? So that's why I gave you those things. I may skip this. Let me see here. No, let's just, okay, so, for example, this has to do with our thinking. So let's say an event happens or a circumstance happens or a situation happens in life. And then we have our thinking. That's our filter it goes through, and then we react. Okay? Sometimes people just think we just react to the event, but actually we go through our thinking. So let me give you an example here. Let's say Boise State, the Broncos, are playing University of Nevada Wolfpack. Let's say those two teams are playing, okay? Now, so you all over here, you are the Boise fans right here. Okay, you are the University of Nevada, University of Nevada fans. Okay, Wolfpack fans. So, okay, so So Boise scores. They take that football across the line. So what's the response of you all? Yeah, exactly. Some enthusiasm, man. What's the response of you all? Boo, it's a lot quieter, that sort of thing. Okay, same event. Totally opposite reactions. Why does the same event cause totally different reactions? Well, it's not what we want. See, our thinking is we want this over here. If you're a Boise fan, they don't want... Okay, you see what I'm saying? Just one... And so, at the heart of this is how we think about things. It's a heart issue. It's a heart and thinking issue. What kind of dirt are you? What kind of dirt do you want to be? It's for you and me, it's all the same. It's our heart and our thinking. Our heart, is our heart open and receptive? And are we willing to redo our thinking? So, let me go ahead and pray, and then are we about ready for food? Okay, how about I'll just pray for the food and get that all taken care of, and then I'm available. You can ask me all the questions you'd like after when we're eating or whatever we're doing, okay? So, yeah, you can ask me questions. That'll be great. So, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Jesus, we want to thank you for your word, particularly your parables as we look at them today and tomorrow, and Lord, help us to read them carefully, but mostly help our heart to be responsive to you. Help us to be good soil. Help us not to be encumbered by the things of the affluent society that we live in. That's where our greatest challenge typically is. But be willing to follow you and to serve you. And so I thank you for the graciousness of these people who have listened attentively. And please encourage them with what your word has said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.